This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're talking about You Only Live Twice.
Domo arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Gozaimasu.
Fucking movie.
This movie came out in 1967.
Oh, my gosh.
Directed by Lewis Gilbert. Writers, Harold Jack Bloom, Roald Dahl. That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Nuts.
And based on the novel by Ian Fleming. Starring Sean Connery, Akiko Wakabayashi, Mi Hama, Tetsuro Tanaka, and that's all you're getting from me. Oh, Donald Pleasance.
Yeah. May God have mercy on our souls.
There's a couple of, you know, mainstays. The Bernard Lee, Lois Maxwell, Desmond Llewellyn as MQ and Moneypenny. Sai Chin, who shows up in Casino Royale as one of the poker players. She's the Chinese woman at the beginning that helps fake his death. And then most noteworthy of all is Peter Maeva. Do you recognize the name, Jeff? At least the last name?
Oh, Maivia? Yeah.
Now I fucked up a name. Yeah, that's The Rock's grandfather.
Grandfather.
Oh, okay.
I thought he looked like not Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, not quite Japanese, maybe, anyway.
You know, yeah. he came from Hawaii.
Yeah, when The Rock entered the WWF, he went under Rocky Maivia in honor of his grandfather. Crazy. All right, I don't even know whose movie this was.
This was mine.
Scott, yeah. So what's your history with this film?
So I think we've sort of established that I'm the biggest Bond fan of the three. I love the Bond series. I obviously did not see this in theaters. It came out in 1967. But I do remember seeing it as a kid and several times over the years, although it had been a while since I sat down to watch it again. And, you know, it's interesting to watch it again with kind of not fresh eyes, but, you know, after we've been doing the podcast for so long, you know, we start to look at these movies perhaps a little bit differently when we're not necessarily excited by them. I don't know if that's the right way to put it. Because, you know, I know it's coming. Definitely was entertained in a different way watching it this time around.
Mm-hmm. All right. Alex, what's your history with this movie?
I want to say that I watched this movie with Scott because I think we were talking about Bond, and my dad's a big Bond fan also. And Scott's like, oh, have you seen You Only Live Twice? It takes place in Japan. You gotta watch it. I'm like, okay. So we watched it together. Then when the inevitable happens, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
I was like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. It's...
Oh, man.
It's out there.
Yeah. But speaking of which, yeah. what was the first movie that everybody watched in the theater? The first one? So I believe, I want to say for mine, it was A License to Kill with Timothy Dalton. I think that was the first one I saw in the theater.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't think I saw Living Daylights in theaters, but yeah, I definitely saw License to Kill.
So the first one I ever saw was on, my parents rented it and I watched it with them. It was A View to a Kill. I don't even know who's in that one.
that was one of the
Grace
Roger
Jones.
Yeah, this was one of the Roger,
yeah, Roger Moore. Yeah, I remember that one.
That had the Duran Duran song in the...
In the theater, it was one of the Pierce Brosnan ones, but it was after GoldenEye. I don't know. I saw a couple of those.
Oh, I remember watching GoldenEye.
And I've seen one or two of the newer ones in the theater too. But I'm not a big Bond guy. Although I do like the newer ones, but not all the time it got me into the theater. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, so my history with this is I've never seen it, never heard of it. I didn't even know what this was until you guys said the title, and then yeah, I have questions, lots of them. But we can.
I will say, you know, just because it's not anything I think list worthy. This is probably my favorite title of a Bond movie. It just there's something very just inherently cool for like a name of a spy, you know, movie, novel, whatever. Like You Only Live Twice.
Yeah, like, doesn't even come into play.
Well, no, it absolutely does. What the hell are you talking about? The whole first part of the movie is him faking his death.
No, yes. But then after he fakes his death, everybody knows he's James Bond.
Well, yeah, like that part of it doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
yeah, that's but, what yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Like they never explain all this elaborate stuff. Yeah, they never explain why they had to go through with it to begin with. But yeah, but the title, the concept behind like the title is awesome.
Yes,
like it conjures like what you'd want out of a spy, whatever. Yeah,
yeah, and then Blofeld even says it. It's like, oh, that's he the does. Title yes, of the movie. Cinema Sin.
Yeah. So before I have questions, should I ask them now or should I ask them as we go? Because I have
whatever you feel like doing, I'll try to answer as best I can.
Yeah. Man. Okay. I mean,
is this supposed to be taken seriously or no?
I think Bond movies were always like silly action movies. They weren't heavy dramas that they turned into. Well, heavy action dramas with the Daniel Craig Bond.
But even Doctor No, I saw and it was not like this.
Right. Yeah, because it started off like that, and then they got really tongue-in-cheek.
I think they slid, like, by the time, like, the Roger Moore ones are in full swing. It gets very cheeky.
Okay, but this is not.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Cause, like,
no, but I think this is the last one, the last Connery one before. Oh, shit, this again.
Being invaded.
Yeah, I know. No, the last Sean Connery one before. Never Say Never Again, which was done by a different studio.
Yeah, there's a rogue whole Bond. Very weird, like convoluted thing about the rights to James Bond properties. That's why you had like simultaneous, like Roger Moore and Connery ones going on, and you had the one off with George Lazenby.
Lazenby, which was yeah,
was the one advertised at this. Yeah,
yeah, and the credits is Her Majesty's Secret Service. Wow.
Because this thing was corny. And then, like, even Laura walked in at one part. And she's like, yeah, Austin Powers is making fun of this. I mean, this is just like Austin Powers. It's not even spoofing it.
It's hard to tell, like, where they really want to, like, punch it up with, like, the tension and drama. I think the beginning of the movie is a lot better than...
Yes.
We'll talk more about that. Sure, as we go along.
And then one last question with Blofeld: is this his first appearance or no?
I don't know. I'm a Bond fan, but I'm no expert. Go ahead, Alex.
He's been mentioned and featured in different Bond films. I think from Russia with Love, he was seen, but only from the midsection stroking the cat. This is the first time
this is
face.
A family podcast.
Well,
stroking his pussy.
Okay,
yeah, that's right. But yeah, this is the first time you see his face.
Okay.
It's Donald Pleasance.
And then he shot...
Stop that astronaut right there.
He shot Michael Myers.
Yeah.
May God have mercy on our souls.
Alright, well, I have more questions, but that was the two main ones, because this was pretty damn corny in my opinion. It almost felt spoofish in itself, and then...
I think it's uneven... I think it's easiest way to just call it uneven. How's that?
Okay, well then let's get into it. We're just going to talk about seven items from the movie. Scott, what's your number seven?
Number seven is the I'm calling it the twine poison.
Honorable mention. It's always cool.
Like I don't know in movie lore if this is the first time this ever popped up in a movie, but this is certainly the oldest thing I can think of where it did pop up. And the visual of it is so cool, with like the rivulets going down, and they, in the low lighting, they kind of glisten, and And just the idea of killing somebody like that is interesting for a spy movie. So yeah, like not much more to say about it, but it's just something very cool. You know, and especially in this long running series where, you know, people get a knife in the back and then just seize up for no reason, like just for dramatic. Great. For dramatic tension, you know, people getting shot, dropped into
this guy's
pools of piranha.
Bon appetit.
What was the year when, you know, the general public finally realized, yeah, piranha aren't actually that dangerous? Like,
I think that's still a big misconception.
Yeah, so I don't know what the
piranha will castrate a donkey. So you should watch your private part, but yeah, I mean, generally just leave anything else alone.
And it was just a very exotic thing that looks awesome on screen. Yeah,
that's with all the bubbles and everything. It's a cheap effect, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's so simple, but it looks so cool.
It's like, oh man, that ham is gone. Oh, that ham looked good too.
Yeah. Well, I was talking more about the poison, but yeah. The bubbles.
Oh, the poison, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. Right. Time Poison 7.
Modern version of it in Gross Point Blank.
Yep.
Which is also cool.
Alex, number 7.
My number 7 is the Vulcan face. I mean, I really... you know, our lists, we try to list the 7 most memorable things, and I like to go the things that I like the least... at number 7, but I can't decide with this one if it's number 1 or number 7.
Oh, I decided. I decided very easily on this one.
So I put it at the bottom of my list, but I figured we would have a big discussion of it after we're done with all of our lists. Mm-hmm. So I'll leave the conversation till then.
Yeah, I got a lot to say about it.
I have questions. All right.
It's so good. It's terrible.
All right. My number 7 is the couch fight. I've seen Jackie Chan fight with the jacket. I've never seen anyone fight with a couch, just pick it up and start stabbing people with the couch.
Yeah, I love that. That was easily the best fight in the movie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking interesting, I'll tell you that. I'm like, he's fighting with a couch as a weapon.
Like, even the way that fight is shot, like, they're doing some, like, not steady cam, but... They were doing like a handheld camera, like
but not so nauseating.
Yeah, and it was brutal. Like Bong's just trying to beat him off. No pun intended. With just like anything he can get his hands on. You know. Uh-huh.
All right, mm-hmm. Number 6, Scott.
6 is the beginning of the fake death. I thought that was again cool, and plausible for, you know, within the Bond universe logic.
Yeah, you could easily trap somebody in one of those things if you rigged it up right with hydraulics and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, just the whole process of like getting picked up on the submarine, and I did like how he asked for permission to come aboard.
Permission granted.
Yeah, let's see what he's in there.
You know what? In that scene, I noticed that this is one of the Alex things, but I never noticed this before, but the guy taking off the zipper off his face and everything, his nails were like jet black. That guy must have been like a real sailor. Like all of his, I remember that because my grandfather had black nails like that too from just working all day. So it's like, man, that guy's a real yeoman.
He really was.
A real yeoman.
So yeah, just I like the whole... plan to do it, and goes by real fast too, which is nice. And we I don't know how much they mentioned it before this, but like the Bond does have, like, he's officially a commander in the British Navy.
Oh, the Royal Navy. Yeah,
yeah, the Royal Navy. So yeah, number 6 is fake death.
Before we move away from that, this scene with always reminds me of a Batman TV show episode, Batman 66, where Robin and Batman were hung up behind like a shooting gallery at a carnival, but like one of the villains replaced the, instead of BBs, they were shooting like real rifle rounds, and the guests were unsure, or it was one of the villains like shooting the targets. No, it was one of the guests, it's like whoever, like for prime reasons. Like, oh, we'll let innocent bystanders kill Batman and Robin with real bullets. We'll switch out the guns. But I remember that all they had to do was pull up their feet up to the canvas because they had bulletproof soles on their bottom of their shoes. And that's what saved their lives. So I'm like, oh, Bond must have had like a bulletproof like back thing. That's how he survived.
There you go.
It always reminds me of that. Anywho.
All right. Where are we at? Alex number six or my number six?
Your six.
My six.
Six is good.
Yeah, that rocket landing took fucking forever. And yeah. But I will say, take that, SpaceX. That thing landed back on its feet in the 60s. So
that might be the most implausible thing in this entire movie that they did. But so
they had, came out before we even landed on the moon.
Yeah,
too.
So you know, we mentioned Austin Powers. You know, that was a big joke in Austin Powers that he's like that number two's taking everything legitimate and like they don't actually need to do crime anymore.
Yeah,
they're still evil, but just not like they're legally evil. Lawful evil at that point. But if you had the technology to land a rocket like that, like, pretty sure you're already well on your way to world domination without having to cause World War III.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But my God, those special effects. I know, I mean, this is 10 years before Star Wars. I'll give them credit, whatever they're doing. But this was like some Star Trek The Motion Picture bullshit or or 2001. It's just like, let's just look at these special effects for minutes. Get over it.
Yeah.
So
they're really in space. I think they really went to space.
Just the way it landed, basically what they just did with SpaceX last year for the first time ever. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at? Scott, number
Alex. Alex, number six.
See, you were supposed to go before that. You go before me. That's why I don't know.
I thought you did your six.
No, I have not done my six.
Oh, my bad.
Anyways, after Bond catches the guy, right, that stabbed what's-his-face with the one leg,
uh-huh.
Right? He switches shoes because he didn't have shoes inside the house, right? So he gets those shoes, and he's got a great suit with a white shirt and a black tie on it, right? So he goes over, he has the awesome fight with the Rock's granddad. He gets the stuff out of the safe. And when he started running out of the building, I started cackling. Because he looked almost exactly like Pee Wee Herman running out of somewhere with the gray suit and the tie in the shoes with the black tips and the white.
Yeah,
they just give us like, wow, he looks just like Pee Wee Herman. I'd never noticed that before. Well, that was great.
Yeah, well, that's like the movie of Pee Wee Herman.
That's right.
At the very end, you are. Right?
Yeah, paging Mr. Herman.
All right, so now we're on to Alex. Or sorry, Scott, number five.
Number five is the helicopter dogfight. It kind of goes back to the twine poison thing.
Oh yeah.
Like there'd been dogfights before because there've been all those World War II movies and things like that, but never with helicopters before.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're obviously, this is like first gen helicopters, you know, that had, you know, air fight capabilities, I guess. The little Nelly that he's flying around on.
Little Nelly.
That looks super cool, actually.
Yeah, the gyrocopter is the official term.
And the coolness is completely negated by the ridiculous helmet he's wearing the entire time.
He's got that oversized cowboy hat. Yeah, with the camera inside.
It's so goofy. But yeah, just an idea that they're having this dogfight with helicopters. I don't know, something that felt nostalgic. Fresh about it, like I'm definitely not an expert on how many movies have had helicopter versus helicopter fights, but
I'm pretty sure it was only Airwolf.
There was a movie with Nick Cage and Tommy Lee Jones. I forget the name of that one. Thunderbirds.
Under Siege 2.
Oh man, how good would Under Siege 2 have been if they'd replaced, or if Nick Cage was the villain? No. Anyway. His helicopter dogfight went on a little too long. And then
he pointed all the gadgets first.
Yeah. It turned into, you know, I mentioned Thunderbirds, the Nick Cage movie, but it turned into like the actual like Thunderbirds when the helicopters blew up.
Yeah.
Jeff talked about special effects not looking good. That was probably the weakest part. Other than maybe like
strongest part.
The lava coming down at the end. But
some were better. Better than others.
The compositing.
Well, the set of them on top of the retractable roof was probably the worst thing in the. That looked like
spongy rock.
Yeah, yeah, it looks so Jesus bad. H. But
yes, honorable mention on that one.
But yeah, I don't know what else to say. The helicopter dogfight was I did think it was cool. I remember going into this thinking like, oh yeah, this part's gonna drag on, and I actually enjoyed it. So yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Now Alex, number five.
My number five is the couch fight. That was awesome. It's like all the moves are, you know, there's nothing like kung fu-y or razzle-dazzle about it. It was just a straight-up fight with couches and swords and everything. It had everything. It was great.
Yep, totally agree. Yeah. And he gets the drink afterwards, which is like the ultimate Bond thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and there's no way Bond could have dragged that body into that little closet. There's no way.
Does he even do his martini in this? I know he gets his sake.
He doesn't. Like, they actually, the one guy, this is like an in-joke.
Yeah, was it Walter or what's his face?
Yeah.
What's his name? Hertzfeld?
Hertzfeld. It was Henderson.
Henderson.
Yeah.
Harry.
Gives him the martini stirred, not shaken.
Russian vodka.
Since we're just real quick talking about the alcohol, it almost made my list, and it could have been anywhere on it, but this movie is worth the price of admission to hear Sean Connery go, oh no, I like sake.
Especially when it's served at room at appropriate temperature.
Like sake. Like,
like sake.
Shaki. And at the beginning of the movie, they go out of their way to say that he has a degree in Oriental languages, which I don't even know what
speak a lick of Japanese.
I don't know what the fuck that means, like Oriental languages.
Because he's a Top Gun actor.
Yeah. It's anyway. Yeah, sorry, I had to mention the sake.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my number five is what happened to her clothes.
That poor girl.
Well, first of all, I don't know, they go on the boat and she's not wearing anything but her underwear or some kind of a skimpy bathing suit.
Like, I was confused in this movie, is like what is supposed to be lingerie and what is supposed to be bikinis.
Yeah.
I think it's this weird like blending of the two.
Well, it's the 60s.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, okay, it's a Bond movie, whatever. This girl's naked, whatever. She's running around the whole time in the volcano. And then when she gets separated and she's... No, she has clothes again. And then when Blofeld like hits the time bomb or whatever, and they're running out. Now she has no clothes on again, and she runs, jumps into the water. Her clothes were
well. You can't swim with clothes on.
Yeah, she had to take them off for extra mobility, Jeff.
Yeah,
oh, God, I was
a strong swimmer. I felt so bad for her character. Like, she had to run all the way up the goddamn mountain, like in whatever those shoes, like barely wearing shoes, and then. And then she had to swim all the way back. She had to run all the way back down. Swim all the way back. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous.
Dodging bullets.
Like, she did was superhuman. It was like...
yeah, she's the real superhero.
Like, spoilers, it was very much like Rings of Power. So.
Yeah.
And she's more importantly, her resisting his charm for most of the movie.
Charm. It's all business.
God. All right.
I won't be needing these oysters.
God.
I did like the oyster joke. So my number four, as you guys have already mentioned, the fight with the getaway driver goon. I just really liked that fight. Like, I was expecting like a lot of the crap at the end. And so it was again, cool just to see, not a lot of, like, the judo chops or anything. It's just this kind of down and dirty, like, thing. And I think what was cool about, like, that... So, my idea, the physical aspect, like he's like looks intimidating, but he's not like that typical Vaughn like villain, like the guy at the end where he just like shrugs off punches to the face and chest and whatever. Like,
yeah,
like that's not very interesting. Like maybe the first couple times we saw that in movies, but, mm-hmm. You know, so this guy's actually like, you know, taking a beating too. Just again, I really like that whole sequence.
Okay. Yeah. Alex, number four.
My number four is I really love the set design and the I already like the 60s like aesthetic in movies where it's just like the artwork, the graphic design, all the paintings, the neon and everything was great. But add a set in Japan, I don't know, it makes it a lot more interesting, a little bit cooler. So I like the whole look of all the sets and everything, especially when they were like in modern 60s Japan.
Yeah, I did really like the like the interiors of everything, like other than like, well, some of the volcano stuff is ridiculous, but the like it felt
like
the
tiger's office.
Yeah, like there's this blending of Japanese and Western that doesn't feel, I don't know, like out of place. It doesn't feel like it's condescending. Like the whole time, like they make Japan look cool, which
yeah.
I think serves the movie well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I agree with you basically, Alex. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
All right, my number four is Super Fun Happy Slide.
yeah, speaking like of Tanaka's office.
Yeah, when he fell down, I think it was, oh man, that's awesome. I think that's right when Laura walked in and she saw that. Like, what the hell? But I don't know, just that was cool. You got the just trap door with a nice slide. I would just always go down that trap door.
Mm-hmm. That's why Aki was smiling. He's like, oh, you're in for a good time.
Yeah. All right, this is Scott number three.
Okay. So, yeah, I mentioned before certain things that I didn't think of the same way the last time I saw this. I laughed out loud when right after Tiger's like, oh, I'm better than commandos, whatever. Like, I have ninjas. And then you see this horde of dudes, like, running towards the camera. And then there's this montage of, in my notes, I have showing off all the mall ninja shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Some of it's cool. Like, some of it, like, get wholly unnecessary, but still cool. Like, the guy doing the one guy that's, like, the sword master.
Yeah.
Like, all the shit he's doing is awesome, but, like, yeah, it's pointless. them, like, throwing the ninja stars, Mm-hmm. I wish there'd been some nunchaku in this, but you know what are you gonna do?
Now, yeah, that's interesting. Are nunchaku Japanese or Chinese?
I don't know. I honestly don't. Yeah. Know. Honestly don't know. But yeah, them doing all the breaking board. Like at that point, they're just doing like generic like here's martial arts stuff.
Yeah, martial arts demonstration.
Like I wonder if like any of the stuff coming out of like Hong Kong. Influenced what was going on in this book. This is 1967. So, like, the big Shaw Brothers stuff is still, like, the most famous of the Kung Fu stuff I don't think is out yet.
Yeah, it started in, like, the 70s, right?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure on those timelines. But, I mean, like, that stuff existed. So I wonder, like, if somebody... And obviously, like, you know, British filmmakers, you know, they have a line in Hong Kong at this point in time in history.
I have a theory, but we'll get to it when we get to our number /7s.
Okay.
But I have a theory.
But anyways, yeah, I laughed out loud when they're all running at the camera. Like some of the stuff is it's just so funny. Like when you compare that with my number four with like that fight where everything's like contained and tense and it's shot well, and then the director's like, yeah, we're just gonna watch a dude scream and run at the camera, like. just like this point, they're like, we already blew our creative load early on as far as like making good stuff, so we'll just have a bunch of dudes running the camera. So that's my number three.
Yeah, it's in my honorable mentions, but Yeah, Tanaka describes them as stealthy, silent assassins, and everybody's screaming at the top of the lungs.
Yeah.
It's like, you might want to check your notes there, Tiger.
They kind of are the worst ninjas ever.
Yeah.
By definition of ninja, but anyway.
Yeah.
Alex, number three.
My number three is the helicopter dogfight. Maybe it's because last night, before we watched this movie, I was watching Godzilla versus Megalon with the boys. Which is, by the way, you know that gif of Godzilla flying feet first, completely horizontal, over the ground? Have you guys seen that gif?
No.
Well, it's from that movie, and it's fantastic. Even... See it with context, it's ridiculous. So I recommend that movie wholeheartedly. But yeah, seeing the effects from that movie and then seeing them from You Only Live Twice is a step up. Still corny, but I loved it. I loved the whole concept of helicopter dogfight. And yes, Scott?
Just because you brought up Godzilla just real quick. I just want to mention this video that was making the rounds on Reddit. It's the most adorable goddamn thing I've ever seen. This actress, Rie Ota, who got in some of the kaiju suits, and, you know, was like one of the actors for that for some of those, I don't know which movies exactly, but there's like footage of her like acting on set. So not the stuff that actually, you know, was filmed for the movie. And, you know, in order to stay in character, she's like growling as like these monsters, but she's like this tiny Japanese woman. And like, you see, so she's like moving around and it looks cool. Like, you know, I always appreciate like the puppet work, you know, or working these costumes. And you see like the mouth open on the monster, and it's just like, rawr.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, to see. So again, if anybody wants to, just look it up. Rie Ota, R-I-E-O-T-A. Yeah, it'll make you smile.
Yeah, helicopter dogfight. It's awesome. I loved it.
Okay, well, that's my number three as well. You guys have pretty much said everything. I found it pretty hokey. One thing, this is the most technical, that's little, what you call the shinny, the shiny, the sherry, what is it? The little copter?
Oh, Nelly?
Nelly, Jesus. But it still had, like, the old label maker stuff above everything.
Put some
digital displays on that bad boy.
I mean, they had to assume Bond would be drunk, so... Easy identifiable.
Easy to
read. Didn't want to accidentally the drop the...
That would be easy to remember for you.
When you meant to use the flamethrower. Yeah.
I mean, but what's stupid is that they reveal that thing, and it's still like a band has come into play. There's like 18 giant boxes of equipment to assemble the thing. It's like, I don't know. It's not too subtle. And then, I don't know if he was supposed to be stealth. Looking around the island, they made so much noise.
Yellow gyrocopter,
and it's like yellow too, right? Like,
yeah.
Everybody's gonna notice that thing. Yeah.
That's
funny.
I guess it was small, so maybe it would appear smaller on radar. Yeah.
But yeah, I like the scene where he's flying and he sees the shadows, and that's how he knows he's in the fight. That was cool. Very, some Top Gun-esque moments there. And I guess I'll give it credit. It was 20 years before Top Gun came out. So it was still hokey at the same time.
But. Somebody, i.e. Alex, should redo that scene, but instead of the Bond music, you should just have Highway to the Danger Zone.
I'm in. We'll post it on our YouTube channel.
There you go. But yeah, I like the fact that he had to use all his gadgets before it was over. There it is, the helicopter there fight. We've already said enough about it. So, Scott, number two.
All right. Number two is the volcano lair and Blofeld. Like simultaneously, like, the best and worst parts of this movie. Like, it's... I like that they... They've taken a big swing with this volcano layer thing, but it undercuts like any, like Jeff was asking, like, should we take this movie seriously? By the time
the answer is no.
By the time the rocket reverse lands into the volcano, the answer is a solid no. So I like the idea, like, as a kid, like, you think of anything cooler than, like, layers, right? Like, secret layers, whether it was the heroes or the villains.
Spoiler alert, my number one is, I want a hidden base with rides. This is badass.
Yeah, yeah. I want rails everywhere.
I want an Ayn Rail in my,
So it's not just for kids, Scott. I definitely want a monorail and the people mover and everything moving through my hidden
right.
Base.
So again, I love the concept, but just in execution, it's like, I really want to know, like, at this point, what is, like, Spectre's kind of like ethos here, because we get it, like, world domination or chaos or whatever. But, like, it's clear that they have just, like, unlimited resources, right? And they're just coming up with the most elaborately expensive bullshit that they could possibly come up with. Like, launching a rocket, let alone all the other shit they're doing, is, like, it's astronomical. Yeah. Like, no pun intended, it's astronomical.
Astronomical.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, and side note, I'm pretty sure, like, they never address this. Like, I'm pretty sure they would notice a rocket taking off just about anywhere on Earth, even in 1967. Like,
yes. Oh, yeah.
Somebody would notice that. Like,
no, they had radar jammers.
Okay.
Turn on radar jammer. That's right.
Eyeball
jammers. Would they know to block their radar, jam their radar, unless they knew we were coming? Pull up, it's a trap.
Scott, oh, crap, it. Pull up. Let's jump up to. What are you talking about, man?
Sorry, I had to bring Star Wars into it.
And also, like, I did mention Blofeld, but yeah, he's fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
Why doesn't Bond, like, this drives me nuts, like, in these movies, like, why doesn't Bond ever headbutt anybody? Like, you get a headbutt.
Number 11 would come off.
Number 11. This is Toop. Yes, I don't mention his first Toop, but he could have headbutted Blofeld. He could have headbutted the woman who was, like, going to torture him. Like, it's just the thing in those movies where you're supposed to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
All right, Alex, number two.
My number two is the music. I forgot how cool the original score for Bond movies are, especially the ones in the 60s. It was just awesome. It's one of the things I love about The Incredibles, both Incredibles films. It's one of the things I love about the Austin Powers films, too. It's just, they have that retro feel in those movies because they heavily reference, of course, the early 60s Bond. Like the stingers, when they're sneaking, you know, the flute solos. It's great. I love the original score.
I totally agree. I like the opening song for this too. That's one of my favorite of the Bond movies. Or the You Only Live Twice, Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah. There it is.
My number two is, you guys already talked about it, but it was more the intro into it when he says, "Do you have commandos?" I have ninjas. Well, of course you do. That's just going to make this movie better. And then I was disappointed. The ninjas were kind of lame. But when that response, I did a spit take. I have ninjas. Yes.
It was funny because to that point, I kept thinking to myself, like, wow, they're like, this is oddly, like, respectful of, like, another culture. Like, the Japanese people in this movie are, like, equally the villains and the heroes. The tiger character is like a mix between like M and James Bond. You know, like at no point are they like, does it feel like they're like putting it down, like even like not even like feeling like any of the 60s like racism. And all of a sudden it's like, we have ninjas.
Yeah.
What's funny is because I wanted to quote that, but of course you are. But of course you. It was like the same Sean Connery thing from The Rock.
But of course you do.
Of course you do.
Yeah, and then he's like, well, you have to become a ninja. You have to become Japanese and marry somebody.
Yeah,
well,
I'll get to like, that in a minute.
What the fuck?
I'll get to that in a
second. Yeah, I know we're going to get to that later. But yeah, just I have ninjas cracked me up. So, number one, Scott.
My number one is the Japanification. How did I write this down?
Mm-hmm.
And hunching over. Like, so...
I didn't notice that.
I can't, like, this is so... Because
he's supposed to be shorter.
Bonkers, like, ridiculous. Like, this is Stone Cold Viking funeral level of, like...
Of a ludicrous speed.
Yeah, this ludicrous, like, I just... It's so over the top that, like, I don't even know if it's, like, racist. This, like, I can't, I mean, yes, it is, but, like, how bad is it really? Because it's so, just so ridiculous. Like, and Jeff, do you remember when you asked if we should take this movie seriously?
Well, yeah.
Like, there's...
Nope.
There's no way, like, anybody would think that he was Japanese. Like, from a mile off in a helicopter, they wouldn't think he was Japanese. Like, so... They put on the black tube. They stretch his eyes out a little bit.
Black tube.
They put on some shoe black over his eyebrows and like call God it a day.
Jeebus,
they shave his body hair.
Yeah, I don't think they did that. But they
yeah, didn't they? Weren't they? And then they said like, yeah, they I thought laughing. You only have to shave the parts that are visible or oh, something. That part, like that. Yeah. And the girls giggle.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. They're doing the whole like Team America.
Yeah.
Then he puts on the like the ceremonial like garb, and then his idea of acting Japanese is hunching over, right? That's, like there were no other notes. Like he couldn't come up with anything else. Just like I'm gonna hunch over. Because that'll make me look more Japanese.
He's supposed to be short. That's right.
I guess that was...
He's Japanese.
The thing.
Sorry, speaking of the height, the only thing worse is when he put on the astronaut suit, just happened to fit him, and he was like 2 feet taller than the original
astronaut.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that too. Like, Blofeld's going to... This guy can come at him because he's too tall. I was like, nope, there's some weird shit about how he wouldn't
carry his thing.
Yeah.
A real astronaut would not carry his air conditioner into the suit.
The fact that his ankles are sticking out of the spacesuit wasn't a giveaway.
like he's got bare midriff because it's so short. Yeah, it's,
you couldn't tell, but he was hunching over when he put the suit on. That's why it fits.
Oh,
him.
It's like practicing. He's been practicing as a ninja, so he's able to.
You damn right.
Jumpsuit's so up his ass, you can see his crack and his. He's smuggling plums into fucking space.
So yeah, he's pretending to be Japanese. Like even more baffling than like why they would think anybody thought he looked Japanese was just why they had to go through with it to begin with. Like I guess to sneak him onto that island, but like throw him in a crate. Like there's so many easier ways.
Doesn't
and then
make any sense.
They're like they're gonna train him. Train him to be a ninja, which, to his credit, he does kill a dude with a throwing star. So, it was all that training was completely useless.
Actually, kill that person. But
like
whatever.
I did laugh when he puts on his ninja suit on the way in too, because it's like I you know, they're fully committed to this
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the whole way through.
Ninja,
yeah,
sucking cups.
Yeah. It's so ridiculous that it makes me not like cringe. Like I guess maybe that's the best way of putting it. Like I didn't cringe at it because it was just so like way 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 over the top. And you know everybody, and in the movie everybody's just supposed to buy it. Like it's different than like the Breakfast at Tiffany's where it's like, oh that's a Japanese person. Yeah, yeah. This is like. Oh, we're gonna make this white guy, like this very white guy, try to look Japanese. Like it's
arigato,
arigato. So yeah, there we have it. And then he has to get married for some reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
She looks like a pig.
Yeah,
yeah. I almost made my list. The poor Aki dies And he's like, well, back to work.
Yeah, seriously. No warning for Aki.
I guess, like well, again, that's like a Bond thing, but
Jesus, give me another like, one.
Yeah, at
least,
on to the next
at least wait a scene, for Christ's sake.
I'll take that yeah. one.
He was training.
What about that one? It's literally like when Uncle Owen, when the Red 5 blows up. Ah, whatever. Give me that one.
Yeah.
See? Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, number one.
Number one is Blofeld. Mostly because Austin Powers hung its villain on a parody of Blofeld, which is Dr. Evil. And Donald Pleasance looked cool, too.
Yeah, I never knew Donald Pleasance played that character. I only know him from Michael Myers. So.
Like a different actor would play him in, what was it, Thunderball?
Yes.
But anyway.
In a lot of different movies. I want to say that even Renfield, what's his face, was later played Blofeld in like some of the other movies. Am I wrong on that one? Because he looked familiar. I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be a bad guy. But I think that's because he was Blofeld in a later Bond movie.
Which guy?
The guy that gets stabbed with the wooden leg.
I don't know about that. That guy looked very much like Grandmeister...
Picel?
Is it Picel? Yeah, Picel.
Yeah.
The bad guy from Last Crusade. Anyway.
Yeah, I think that's Picel.
Yeah,
it's not. I know it's not that guy, but it looks like him.
Yeah,
yeah, he was like, that's right. Yeah, he was in Star Wars too.
Once again, Star Wars. He's the guy who's driving the AT-AT, Admiral Veers.
Which, if I'm an admiral, I'm not like
not in the Bond movie though.
No.
Yeah,
Picel. All right.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyways,
Jeff's number one.
My number one, where I mentioned it, was the I Want a Hidden Base with Rides. That was awesome. The monorail and the people mover and everything. I thought that was pretty cool.
That thing looks so rickety.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I bet they had to like repair that thing. Like,
I mean, constantly it looks like we were to make a hidden base.
Like, right, God, before somebody got hurt, like, there's no way people didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
Filming that thing.
Okay, before we get on to honorable mentions, I have the list of Bond movies here. This was number 5.
Yeah.
Shit.
So, it's still pretty early on. Yeah, Dr. No, From Russia with Love, Goldfinger, Thunderball, You Only Live Twice, Honor Majesty's Secret Service, Diamonds Are Forever, Live and Let Die, Man with the Golden Gun, The Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, For Your Eyes Only, Octopussy, Never Say Never Again, A View to a Kill, Living Daylights, License to Kill, GoldenEye, Toronto Never Dies, The World Is Enough, Die Another Day, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, Skyfall, Spectre, No Time to Die.
It's a lot of movies.
And like, there's this, like, the other Casino Royale, too, technically.
Yeah.
The parody that came out in close to this one. It was still in the 60s with Woody Allen.
So I am interested to see, like, you know, who's going to be the next Bond, and if they decide they need to change things up again, because obviously, like, Daniel Craig at least started off like as a kind of a
layer cake,
like a rebuke, I guess, of the.
I love Casino Royale. I did not really like any of the
Pierce Brosnan ones.
Yeah.
It was like the Pierce Brosnans were always kind of a line between the Roger Moore and Connery ones.
Yeah.
And then they just got absolutely ridiculous toward the end, but...
Yes, they did. Was that Chainsaw Iron Helicopter?
We did Goldeneye. Yeah. We did fairly recently, actually.
Yeah. I think that's the only other one we've done, right? Maybe we've done Casino Royale, maybe? I don't know. Anyway.
We might have.
Time for honorable mentions. I had a bunch. The line, "Welcome to Japan, men come before women." Here.
Honorable mention, the rampant misogyny. Like,
yes.
There could be, like, okay, if I'm being honest, it's not really an argument, but there could be an argument about, like, how racist this movie is, at least toward the end. There's no argument about the misogyny.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Like we just said, he loses one. Just give me another.
Yeah.
When the ninjas are training, he's like, you'd be more interested in this. Rocket guns. I'm like, yes, we have ninjas and rocket guns. And he just flew a little helicopter. Early on in the movie, when he was doing tons of point-blank gun kills. Like, most gunfights don't have the guys shooting each other at point-blank range all the time. Unless it was like Keanu in that one.
No, it's Equilibrium, bro.
Or Equilibrium, too, yeah. He's almost doing some gun kata in this thing. And then I have drive-by attempts. I don't even remember. I think, well, when he's escaping and they're in the drive-by.
Yeah, he's right in the driveway of the company that he's leaving. It's like, I think people are going to suspect something.
Yeah, it was like a Tommy gun sticking out. I'll get you, yeah. Bond!
Yeah. Get down. That sports car was really cool, by the way.
Of course. It's a James Bond
movie. I know, it's a James Bond movie, but it was cool.
Interesting, this is like the only Bond movie where he doesn't drive anything. Like, yes, he pilots the Nelly, but he never drives a car.
He drove the ladies away.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hey, yo. Any odd mentions from you guys?
I like that they showcased sumo wrestling, like, for real. Like, they didn't try to make it look weird or anything. It's just, the only, like, weirdness you get is that, like, Bond's not into it.
Yeah.
Dude, that scene, did you guys remember, I think it was, Boba Fett or Mandalorian, where there's the Gamorrean guards are fighting. There's like a big arena. It was set up just like that. I wonder if they were stealing it, because they kind of set it up just like that.
Yeah, I think it was Mando season 2.
Yeah, and he sits down and they start talking and then like they just instantly leave or something like that. It was almost the same. I bet they took some shots from their purpose as an homage, because it felt very semi-solid. I'm like, oh, that's like something, and it took me a while.
Yeah.
So I like that they make fun of his chest hair like a couple times. So again, we talked about Austin Power not really like up in the ante at all. It just did it again.
Yeah, it's just a straight up Bond movie from the 60s.
Yeah. The car magnet was awesome. The helicopter.
Yeah. yeah, give him the usual reception.
I like how they subtly shat on the Russians in this one. The Ruskies. Like, so they show the Americans in their mission control center, and they show the Russians, and when they show the radar that the Russians are looking at, it's like all cracked. like they can't afford, like the US, the Soviets can't afford like an uncracked radar screen mission control.
Not in the 60s.
Yeah, not in the 60s. we did mention the oyster joke. It did drive me nuts when the helicopter. So they had Chekhov's helicopter pad inside of the volcano. It finally got used, and it landed way off center. That bugged the shit out of me. Like, I guess they're just like, we're not doing another take of this. Like, it landed. Yeah, everybody's expensive. Alive. We're moving on. Yeah. Like, and then finally, I think
backwards smoke in this movie and water. They had lots of reverse shots in this movie that did not hide well.
Yeah, there's a few of those. They fired the blank. They scare the shit out of the cat. I don't know if you noticed that. Because the cat, like, bolts between the henchman's legs.
Oh, Blofeld's cat.
Yeah. So, like,
I didn't notice that.
He does the super evil thing where he could totally just kill Bond, but instead he kills the guy for failing him. Like,
oh, yeah.
And then the cat freaks out. Like, you see it run between the henchman's legs.
Oh. I didn't catch that.
So, I thought that was... Yeah,
poor guy.
I think that's all my stuff.
All right. Time for the main event here. I can't believe you guys didn't mention the photo analysis with the tiger in the boat. I love that... Well, first of all, I love that when they zoomed into the camera, they still left everything blurry. They didn't, quote-unquote, enhance it. But every time Bond would ask, it's like, oh, could we move the shot over to the left? Move the shot to the left! could we zoom in on here? Zoom in here!
Alex, you know what? That might not have impacted me because I was so bothered by how close they were sitting together. Where there was no reason for it other than just to get them in the same shot.
Well, I mean...
Like, there was other space.
Friendly people.
Yeah. Like, there was more bench room They just like needed them in the same suits. They like had them practically sitting on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Anyways, my next thing was that any of the misogyny is so rampant, it's so obvious that any of the soaping up girls could have easily been a spy that they could have planted within Tiger's organization. Like, why didn't Spectre do this? You bunch of idiots. Let's see. We already mentioned the poison string. No mourning for Aki.
Yeah.
For me, for the volcano.
That's
lair.
Like the name of a song, though.
Yeah. No mourning for Aki. they climb up the mountain for the volcano. The Bond and the new girl. What's her pig face? And they go down there.
They never give her name in the movie, which is bullshit. So like,
yeah, it is.
Bullshit. And the credits, her name is Kissy Suzuki.
Okay, so Kissy and Bond go up there, and when they get to the edge of the quote unquote water, you can tell it's metal. It's metal. It's not water, and yet Bond goes, "Oh, it looks pretty deep." You can see, like, the texture. It's like, water doesn't, even when it's standing still, water doesn't do that. And he throws a rock at it, just bink clank. He's like, oh, it's metal. It's like, no shit. Oh, that cracked me up.
Like, the volcanic rock was squishing underneath all the ninjas running up there and stuff, so.
Yeah, well, that, but yeah, the water really got me. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? But, besides all that, my big theory with this whole movie, pretty much, is... one of the things in Japanese culture that I don't know if a lot of people know, but they actually encourage the spread of Japanese culture into other cultures. So they're really big on, you know, oh, you know, the U.S. wanted to import a lot of kimonos. Yeah, here, go ahead. We'll give you the plans. We'll do make it, whatever. So anything that represents the Japanese culture in and spreads it, widespreads it in a positive way, they like it. They're pretty big on it. I think they still are.
They like it.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So I think that's the basis for why there's a lot of just gratuitous Japanese culture things in this movie. Not just because it was set in Tokyo and in different, you know, Japanese regions. A lot of it was filmed there and in the legendary Pinewood Studios. But I did notice in the credits that they did have some Japanese advisors on the crew. So I'm wondering if that was for the wedding ceremony, the sumo wrestling, the fishing, the martial arts, all that stuff. So that's my big theory about why, and even turning James Bond into a Japanese person. I thought they were going to do some actual, like, yeah. Oh shit, did I forget this? Did I remember this movie wrong? Are they going to, like, actually surgically change Bond's face to be more Japanese? No, they're just putting plastic shit on his face.
I think maybe the only saving grace is he like never tries to do an accent.
Yes,
I think maybe that's why it's not cringy, because of like he still just talks the same.
Yes, and he looks like a white guy.
Yeah. So
like I said, I call it Vulcan face, because he looks like Spock.
Vulcan face.
Yeah.
When you said that, that's exactly what he looked like. Or Spock's dad.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Spock's
name. Forgot his name was.
Mr. Spock was my father.
The oh yeah, one last honorable mention I forgot was the boat building chase. Oh, that was pretty cool. Like when he's running on the rooftops, like.
Oh yeah, that was a nice helicopter shot.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff going on there. Something that's worth mentioning.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's all I get.
Oh, all right. Let's rate it. As usual, we rate on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. What would you give this movie, Scott?
This might be the best Bond movie ever.
This is so tough.
It is.
Oh
my gosh.
Like, I think half of this movie is really good, and it zips along. And then
half of it is amazing.
And the other half is like combination record scratch, like just sheer like fantasy befuddlement. This is one of my favorite Bond movies. man, this is tough.
You're not a racist if you like this movie. It's okay.
Yeah, no. I'm more hung up on like what you're saying, Jeff, about like the tone shift. But I gotta give it a 6. This is too much shit I love about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex.
Also, easy 6 for me, because just on sheer entertainment value, this movie has in spades. I love it.
Okay, I gave it a 4. This movie was kind of bad, but I had enough laughs that I can't say it was bad.
You spit take. How many movies do you spit take on?
Let's see, I can't say that it's not bad either.
Yeah.
I get it.
It took me too much. I loved it.
It took me 2 sittings, and I almost timed out on my rental, the thing that I defended so vehemently a few months ago.
The bullshit 48 hours?
Yeah.
Okay.
You should rent it for another 48 hours.
Yeah, I got it on Sunday night.
Completely arbitrary 48 hours.
Started it, and then didn't watch it yesterday, and then today I started. You have like 2.5 hours left. I was like, fuck.
I gotta watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has moments, but I definitely don't ever need to see this again as well. So, 4, I think 4 is fair, because I didn't hate it, but I definitely didn't like it. Alright. And with that, it's time for a crossover topic, which is what, Scott?
So, our top 5 disguises. This was a little tougher than I thought I was going to be. But here we go.
Really?
Yeah, it actually was. My number 5, jumping in with the Vidya games, will be one snake. Snake.
Motherfucker. you took my number 3.
Okay, well, I'll let you talk about it, because I think we have the same thing. So I will say that it's Snake from the Metal Gear Solid series, or the Metal Gear series, I guess I should say.
Yeah, so good.
But I think we're going to say the same thing. And if not, then I'll go then.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Alex, number 5.
My number 5, and this is at the bottom of the list because it was just so gratuitous. Like, while I was watching this movie, I was like, what is even going on here? And I don't know if it was Mission Impossible 2 or 3, where every other scene they were taking off a fake face.
Yeah, I think
the John Woo one. Was it 2? Was it 3?
Shit, I forget. But what I know, you're right. One of them, it was like, it was faces on top of faces. It was on top of faces. Like,
jeebus, Face Off didn't have this many faces.
There's still more space dust on this cookbook.
Yeah. Ooh, Ethan Hunt. Ooh, oh, bad guy. Stephen Dorff. I forgot who was the villain in that one.
I don't think Stephen Dorff was the bad guy.
I don't think, yeah. What? Blade?
He was a Blade, yes.
Yeah.
It was the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman, wasn't it? Was it that one?
No, because that was way later.
Third one.
I'm going to find her. I'm going to hurt her.
Yeah, that's like Mission Impossible, like 4.
What was 3?
With Abrams? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, well, whatever.
Protocol or whatever. But yeah, one of the one with John Woo that directed Mission Impossible.
John Woo was the second one.
Yeah, that's the one then.
With one of the best ones of all time.
Full speed on motorcycles, and they jumped off and they crashed into each other's chests, and then they were fine. Nope.
And then he did a Guile kick.
Yeah. You're Sonic thinking of boom. The movie The Quest. Also with Roger Moore. Hey, Bond connection.
I could tell you I've seen every Mission Impossible movie except maybe the last one. And I couldn't tell you what happens in any of them except the first one.
All you need to know about the last one is that Henry Cavill cocks his arms.
Yeah, he reloads them.
I know. Actually, I did see that one because it doesn't make the cocking sound in the movie as it is in the trailer, which was badass.
Yeah, they should have kept it.
The one where reloading he hangs from the plane. Which one does he hang from the plane?
It's like half of them, Jeff. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't remember. It's like the fifth or the fourth or the fifth one.
I think you're thinking of The Mummy.
Yeah. Number 5, we kind of already talked about it, but it would be Team America World Police.
Terrible.
Yeah, that's my number 4.
All right, well, I'll let you talk about that. Durka. Scott, number 4.
Sticking around with video games, my number four is from Final Fantasy VII. And that's when you get a cross-dress as Cloud at the wall for Don Corneo.
Damn, he was good-looking, too.
Well, I mean, it depends how much effort you put into it.
Yeah.
You can just, like, grab any old thing and go up there, but if you put some work into it, then yeah, you, I know.
You need the full disguise.
Don't you have to do that in Breath of the Wild 2 or something? You have to dress as a girl to get into town, or I don't know.
And as a Garuda woman.
There you go.
To go into the hidden the village of the sand and get some earrings.
Yeah. Yes. I remember I got in there. I don't remember if I got what I was supposed to do in there.
Or if I got up because Link was so damn hot.
Yeah, I started doing some sand surfing. And
yeah, man.
That game was ridiculously tough. All right. Scott, number four. Alex, number four. I don't know. Who's
Alex, I think it was Scott, number four.
Yeah. Scott just did his, right? Alex number four.
The Cloud.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. Gary from Team America. They go into this big surgical scene and everything, and it's just filmed with, like, Michael Bay cameras and everything. And it is a little bit reminiscent of the surgery room from You Only Live Twice. And then he's like, wow, he looks amazing. It's uncanny. Looks just like one of the terrorists. He's just got splotchy brown face paint. And he's got like pubes stuck all over his face. It was fucking... Oh my gosh, it's one of the most hilarious reveals I've ever seen.
It's me! It's me!
It's me. What's he saying? Kiss me! Kiss me!
Smart-ass motherfucker!
Yeah. Oh man. That movie's... awesome.
All right, my number four is I'm going with a theme here, and it's I took it from two different zombie movies or genres. Mm-hmm. I could do it from The Walking Dead early on in the series, where they covered themselves in zombie guts,
it's so like they episode wouldn't one or two, yeah,
yeah, so they wouldn't be, they couldn't, no zombies wouldn't smell them, and they would get through the herd. Or I can go from Shaun of the Dead, where they just acted like zombies to get through. And I think that one's better. So, Shaun of the Dead, Zombie Walk is my number four.
That zombie's terrible. Oh, yeah? Show me your zombie. Oh, yeah, that's pretty good.
All right, Scott, number three.
My number three could have also been my number one, but here it is.
Why not make it your number two?
Arrested Development. And that would be Mrs. Featherbottom.
That's my number three as well.
What's the song? Like,
I don't even know. But
coating down your throat? Like, some spoonful of sugar, it's Tobias. So it's some joke about like swallowing gin.
Just a spoon? Yes. Was a cup full of syrup or something?
Yeah, it coats the throat or something.
Yeah, it coats the throat.
Oh, but... I was watching the like a supercut of like all that, and the one where like is Michael telling him like Tobias, just go do whatever, blah blah blah, and he's like, yes, it's me, Tobias.
It is me, Tobias. I love that he confused Mrs. Doubtfire with. Mary Poppins. Yeah. He jumps off the balcony.
Oh, God. That was so well. That was like awesomely shot, because like it was either actually him doing the stunt or they just like seamlessly like did it, because he jumps like We shan't tell him. Shan't tell your mother, shan't you?
Oh, that's right. America, it's a banger in the mouth.
Yeah. Nobody's getting anything in the mouth. It's a sausage in the mouth. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that jump is almost as good. No, it might be better than a Bundy dummy drop off the roof of the house. Oh, my gosh.
It's number three, Mrs. Featherbottom.
Yeah. All right, well, that's my number three as well. Yes, Michael, it is me, Tobias.
It is me, Tobias. Oh man, best list ever.
So what's your three, Alex?
My number three is Metal Gear Solid. Solid Snake dresses as a box.
Yep, cardboard box. Yep.
Yeah, just covers us up as a cardboard box. So if a guard doesn't see you, but he's coming around the corner, you quick put on the box costume. He'll have that exclamation point on his head. Huh? Oh, it's just a box. And he'll keep walking. But if they see you moving in the box, they'll shoot you. What I love, actually, is that the box is not only is it a disguise, but they serve as a transportation device. Because you have, like, two different boxes, if I'm not mistaken. And you have to go on the back of an enemy truck at one point. And if you put on one of the boxes, it takes you to another a place. And if you put on the other box, it takes you to a different location. So I thought that was really cool. A real good attention to detail.
Well, it better you're solid, if you sneak into, like, the wolf pen, you get the pups to pee on the box.
That too. Isn't it, Kojima's got this, you know, Tarantino has a thing about feet. Kojima's got this pee-poo type of thing.
Yeah, he really does.
Yeah. I haven't played Death Stranding, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, yeah. Norman Reedus takes a really long pee after drinking some Monster energy drinks.
There you go.
Yeah. Jeff, okay. Anything well, to
Not at all. But my number three was also Mrs. Featherbottom, so we're into Scott number two.
Number two is, I'm not.
It's so perplexing.
I could not think of whether she actually had a name here, but Leia as the bounty hunter in
Boosh. Boosh.
Was okay, Jesse. Yeah, you fucking nerds. Boosh.
Hey, fuck you. You don't like Boosh?
And I maybe I knew that at some point. Probably not.
Yeah, though.
I was thinking about it, and she's like the only one of the main That's crew good. That could have pulled that off. Because Han is horrible at improvisation.
Hey, it's me.
Luke's like.
Wait a minute. Luke and Han impersonated as stormtroopers to save her ass in the first one.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
Oh, the uniforms.
Can't see a thing in this helmet.
Yeah. That's why they can't shoot straight.
It's like Luke is like that kid that went away for the summer and listened to like the Smiths the whole time and came back. And just like, I'm a Jedi now. Right, so he couldn't have done it. Obviously, Chewbacca.
Well, he was captured.
Yeah, so like Chewbacca had to play his role.
Captured him, yeah.
Yeah, and then C-3PO. And anyway, Leia is Boosh.
C-3PO. You're playing the rogue message, Clank.
All right, well, Boosh is my number two as well. Scott and I are on a roll here.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, I thought about the stormtroopers, but no, this was better. And I still, as a kid, when I first saw Return of the Jedi, and up until probably my teenage years, I thought Boosh, the beginning, when he shows up with Chewbacca, was a real bounty hunter. And then in the middle of the night, Leia came and like took his uniform on and put it on to take Han out of the carbonite. I didn't realize that was all a part of the plan and everything. But it's a cool disguise. Like, some more action
figures. Very effective. Yeah.
Yeah.
His voice.
Knight Rider lights on the visor. It was awesome.
And the voice was done by the same lady who did E.T. So there you go.
Yeah. See, now, I think I brought this up when we did Dick Tracy, but that same voice, I swear it's the same one that the Madonna used for Eraserface.
Yeah, I remember us talking about that, but I don't remember.
Yeah, because it sounds so damn similar, but I couldn't find her in the credits, so who knows?
Yeah. All right, well, Alex, number three. Two, I don't know.
My number two is Top Secret. The fucking cow suit.
That's pretty
so
good.
So fucking funny. And they even take a bull dick in that costume. It was good. Yeah. The fucking boots on.
Well, that could be like Jim Carrey and the rhino. Hopefully I didn't take somebody's, but you could do that.
Got out in them rhinos.
All right, well, my number two was
good.
Was Boosh as well. So, Scott, what's your number one?
Let's see if we can go 3 for 3 here, Jeff, in our last ones. Mm-hmm. Number one is the ultimate disguise.
Oh, yeah.
As laid out by Bill at the end of Kill Bill Volume 2, and that's Clark Kent.
Yep.
No,
that's my number one.
It's very similar, but not the same.
You know, like, again, for better or worse, at the end of Kill Bill Volume 2, gets really nerdy and lays out the whole Superman thing. And but he has a point, as an interesting nerd talking point about how Clark Kent is the disguise for Superman. For most superheroes, it's the other way around. So I guess you could say the same thing for what the other hero might be, which I'm not going to say now that I think about it. But yeah, anyways, Clark Kent. If we're talking about movies, obviously, Christopher Reeve.
Okay. Alex, number one.
Same. Clark Kent. Ultimate disguise. Glasses. Nerdy. Hunched over. See, now that's a proper hunch over there. That's a proper hunched over disguise.
It really is. Superman is Clark Kent. Kent really does look Japanese.
Yeah, he's great.
My number one is Batman.
Okay. Yeah. Well, do you mean Bruce Wayne?
I know. I can say this whenever he does that speech. I'm like, hey, really? Batman's disguise is Bruce Wayne. But whatever, however you want to take it. But the Batman suit is cool.
All out.
But yeah, you can take it either direction, and both directions are better than Clark, but barely.
Yeah. It's a bit more complicated, of course, for Batman, but yeah.
All right, well, if you say the disguise is Bruce Wayne, then he's a playboy, billionaire, philanthropist, or whatever. He's basically the statement that Iron Man makes. Yeah. Use that. Or if he did the disguise as Batman, then he has all the gadgets and those wonderful toys. So.
Except Tony Stark actually enjoys doing those three things.
It's true.
I'm sure as Bruce Wayne, the philanthropy part, like Batman takes that seriously. But the other, the banging, banging hotels. Although, let's not kid ourselves. Bruce Wayne gets plenty of like Gotham's most attractive women. So.
Yeah. He gets more Beaver than Gotham Dan.
Yeah.
All right. Any honorable mentions?
One that is it turns the whole like disguise thing on its head, and that's the guy incognito joke from The Simpsons.
Yeah, I thought of that.
Guy incognito.
It's not actually a costume, but it's so. But my name is Guy Incognito, and then the Hobbits at the end of Return of the King.
Oh, okay.
My two agents.
I had Mission Impossible. Then I had Gene Parmesan from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
And then Arya Stark as Ari. What was her when she was a boy in the couple seasons or whatever?
I forgot what
her name was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Since it really wasn't that creative, but then they just cut her hair and made her piss in the woods. Wasn't that great of a disguise, but it got her saved her safety. Alex, do you have any or no?
Nope.
All right. Well, then it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, in sports, there are a variety of ways to get ejected from a game, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's the strangest one you guys have seen? Or have heard of?
In sports?
Yeah. I can't believe those guys from Argentina, again, World Cup, did not get ejected or red cards when they were hassling the referees as they were walking off the field. Bullshit. But anyways, I digress.
I mean, sometimes players get tossed when they had actually nothing to do with what happened. Just the refs just like randomly assume that it was them.
Oh, yeah.
That happens.
that's a parent thing
That happens all the time. Yeah.
The siblings.
Someone's getting in trouble.
I didn't do anything. Well, you're the closest one here, so...
Yep. I can't think of anything ludicrous, really. I mean, Mike Bilberry got suspended for beating a guy with a shoe, but...
Nobody took his ice hockey?
I mean, there's been hyper-violent stuff, but that's not, like, weird.
Yeah.
Like, Marty McSorley, like, clubbed a guy over the head.
Jeez. Well, in basketball, Dwayne Dedman. Do you guys know who this guy is?
Sure.
Okay, no. Dwayne Dedman got ejected from the basketball by chucking a massage gun onto the court.
Massage gun?
Yeah.
Is that a euphemism like a for
vibrator?
Something?
Vibrator?
Yeah.
It is.
Jeff and I have the same page on that.
It is. Can serve both purposes, as I've seen from the internet. But yeah, and no, it's this gun, and it pulses and everything, so you can use it on your shoulder and everything. I guess they have them on the bench for players to, like, loosen up their shoulders. And yeah, this player, Dwayne Dedman, just chucked one onto the court. You're out of here, buddy. Nobody real. You're too relaxed. Get out of here.
Yeah, I guess you're not allowed to throw massage guns on the
ground. Don't do it.
It's in the rules. This isn't like Air Bud. Like, yeah. Hey, there's no rule saying we can't throw a massage.
Everybody, the janitor checked the rule book. He says there's no rule against dogs being in basketball.
Yes. Remember, Air Bud took a shit on the court. Yeah.
There's no rule against rolling dildos out to the free throw line.
Yeah.
It's time for Neam News.
Yeah.
Okay. Not much for me this week. I've been watching, I think I mentioned this before, but I've watched more of Welcome to Wrexham on Hulu.
But I barely knew her.
Yeah. I think this came out a couple years ago now. Although I think they filmed a lot of it during the pandemic, so it's not that old. But again, basically Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny.
Oh, the soccer thing.
Yeah, they purchase a professional football club.
Pub.
Soccer in Wales, in this town called Wrexham. And yeah, again, the show's like a lot of it's about the locals, you know, how much they just kind of live and die with this team. And that's kind of the best part of the show. But yeah, seeing, you know, Ryan Reynolds and McElhenney, like deal with owning this like club. And like soccer is interesting because at least in the UK, because they have the different tiers where, you know, in, let's say like professional baseball, there's like AAA, AA, single A. None of that really means anything other than just like where they want to put people for development. And this, they actually are like tiers. So if you suck really bad at your current tier, you could drop. If you're really good in your current tier, you could go all the way to the best tier. And so on. And so this Wrexham team's like in the fourth tier. I think. And they're, you know, without spoiling anything, you know, it's just like had the trials and tribulations of this team trying to get better. So yes, it's worth the watch.
Did you hear that Ryan Reynolds is trying to get by a hockey team, an NHL team now?
I can see it.
Yeah, the Ottawa Senators are up for sale, and he does not have enough money to buy
an NHL team. No, like the cheapest professional sports teams are going to like be a couple $1 billion now, right?
But they're basically, they're trying to set him up with the group, and he'll be the front man. He'll be the mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
Be the, like the Magic Johnson or whatever.
Yeah, I can see
Dodgers
it.
Or whoever.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a good thing or a bad thing, right? It's just...
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as you get the people in place to know what they're doing. Like, is there a bad hockey owner like there is in baseball or football?
We had the owner of the old owner of the Senators... there have been a few. Trying to have a hard time thinking. Well, I mean, the owner of the Kings back in the day, Bruce McNall, got arrested for fraud. So
there you go. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of right now if there's. I know there's one. I can't think of it.
Did Mark Cuban?
Mark Cuban's a good owner.
Yes, he's really good owner. Yeah.
But yeah, I can't think of any right now. But there are a couple.
Yeah. It's because of the territory.
Yep.
You guys are. Billionaires, they're gonna have opinions about things that maybe they shouldn't have opinions about.
Anyways, what was that one lady that owned the major league?
Oh, Marge Schott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's no longer an owner.
I think he's talking about the movie, Scott.
Oh, I trust him. Okay.
Not the racist owner of the Reds.
Yes, okay, I don't know why I thought Alex was actually making a original.
Exactly.
Because I'm a sports guy.
No, I got to assume it because every once in a while, Alex actually will, like, say something real and it'll catch me off guard. So I got to change anything he says. Like,
play the odds, Scott. Play the odds.
Yeah.
But anyways,
keep you on your toes.
Yeah. So welcome to Wrexham on Hulu. I recommend. The other thing is this past weekend, kind of on a whim, me and some online friends, we played Phasmophobia.
Ooh, how is that?
So I
played Phantasmagoria. Is it the same thing? Or
it actually is some crossover there. So it's a lot of fun. It's a very simply designed and implemented game. Like, it doesn't look great. Interacting with things is a little bit rough. Like, the controls are a little bit rough. But they make up for it with everything else, because like the sound is spot on, which might be the biggest thing, and just the fact that everything's dark. So the premise is you can have up to four people, and you guys are basically like ghost hunters, and you'll go to a house.
Yeah, Ghostbusters.
It's not. There's no busting of ghosts.
Oh.
You go to like
didn't make me feel good.
Different locations. Like at missions, basically, to like houses, or like we did a school. I don't know what all the things are. And you go in, and you have to find the ghost that's in the house, and they'll typically be like in a location, and you get all these different kind of items and stuff. You've got a place, and like to try to figure out to kind of lure the ghost out, and then you have to meet certain objectives, like. The ghosts will kind of leave these clues, and so you have to figure out what kind of ghost it is. And there's like a list of ghosts, and if you pick the right ghost, then you get like rewards and stuff, and there's other bonus objectives. But the thing is, like right now we just started, so we're like on the amateur mode. There's like a 5 minute head start, and like even before the 5 minutes is up, like the ghosts will start fucking with you, like turn off the lights. So you'll be in, like, complete darkness. Even if you have a flashlight, it's hard to see things. And then things get rougher from there. Like, they'll start, like, randomly messing with electronics. And, you know, depending on the ghost, throw stuff around. They'll start, like, making noises, like, right into your headset. Like, and, yeah, it gets creepy real fast. And the whole thing is, like, you have the sanity meter, and it starts dropping. When it gets to a certain point, there's this thing called the hunt. Where the ghost will actually like manifest itself and try to run somebody down. And what will happen is like you can run outside, but during a hunt, like all the doors to the outside lock and close. So you've got to like go hide or use potentially use an item, and it gets super tense. Because like you'll hear like footsteps, you'll hear like ghost hissing. And one of the coolest things about it is there's in-game comms. So, like, the ghost will mess with your in-game comms, even. So, all of a sudden, you can't communicate with the other people. And, like, mess with your electronics. Damn. Like, and so, you basically, it's a fight to, like, not panic. To get what you need. Like, you get a camera, and there's, like, bonus for taking pictures of a ghost. Which is, like, impossible, because it's, like, running you down. But anyways, it's super tense, but it's a lot of fun. You know, and everybody, like, somebody dies. Like, we have done a mission where somebody makes, like, all four of us make it out. Anyways, yeah, it's a cool, like co-op experience. Yeah, it's super creepy. So that's Phasmophobia.
For anybody couple follow-up questions. There was a game a few years ago that came out. It was, like, Jason, the Friday the 13th game.
Yes.
Kind of like that?
No. In a sense, there's what's Dead by Daylight, I think is what it's called. Where there'd be like, I think that's also like four like survivors.
Yeah.
And then a fifth person.
One monster.
Yeah, a fifth person will play like the monster, ghost, whatever.
Right.
And you basically have to survive. And I've never played it. I think there's objectives for that one too. That I think that one's a little more like action based, maybe.
Yeah, because you got to run. You have defensive items and stuff like that.
Yeah, like but again, I've never played it, but yeah, like, kind of similar no, concepts though.
There's no player that actually plays as the ghost, right?
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, okay.
And it's also super creepy because like if you get killed, like you get taken to like this hellscape, but then you can roam around as a ghost, And you can actually see the ghost when it like pops out, and that's like also really creepy and like
I'm a ghost and you're scared the shit out of me, man.
Yeah, I did. The last game I did like last night, we were in like this farmhouse. It reminded me of the cabin from The Evil Dead. But like a hunt happened, and I like you have to like jump into a closet or something like that, or hide behind furniture. And I hid behind this kind of like triptych like photo thing, and she was like right on top of me. Like I could hear her breathing, but she like went away. I'm like, phew. And then she came back because there's like sometimes there's no cooldown, and I ran behind the same thing, and she starts singing like the London Bridge is Falling Down. Ooh. Like this creepy kid's voice.
Yeah.
And then I got murdered.
You should have picked a different hiding spot.
Yeah, yeah. So
you shouldn't have been standing there.
Yeah, I should not have been standing there. I don't think I did not turn off my flashlight fast enough. I think that was the problem. But
okay.
But, and I could go on about this, but yeah, I recommend this as a game if nobody's played this. Like, you should do that with your crew, Alex. See if you can rope somebody into that.
Maybe. I think they'd be too chicken. I think I'd be too chicken.
Terrible. Well, one more thing. You guys ever see that? What you were talking about, it kind of reminded me, but not really. Just triggered a memory more than anything. Black Mirror, the episode called Playtest. Do you guys remember that? Where the guy.
I've only ever still seen the very first episode that they aired.
Okay.
Talk about a pig face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an augmented or virtual reality. He goes as a tester, and it's kind of you stay in this house, and then things start happening in your imagination. And then, of course, it's Black Mirror and other stuff happens. But
mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen it a bunch of times. I didn't realize the main guy was Wyatt Russell before I knew who he was.
Yeah.
There you go.
There it is.
All right. Alex, anything you want to go over?
Yes. It is that time of year again. It is Awesome Game it's Done Quick, AGDQ. Right. They're running their week-long speedrunning stream to raise money for the Prevent Cancer Foundation. At the beginning of the week, they did an insane, like, 30-minute run of Breath of the Wild. It's so entertaining to watch. It was crazy the way they did it. So I recommend that because they put all these streams up on YouTube. So afterwards, I recommend watching that. But it goes on all week. It's for an amazing cause, the Prevent Cancer Foundation. So watch some cool streams, watch some of your favorite games get broken to get beaten as fast as possible, and raise some money. Consider donating to a great cause.
Yep.
Right now they're playing Dead Space 3 in co-op. They're speedrunning that.
Hmm.
So there you go.
Cool.
Do something good at the beginning of the year. You a-holes.
Oh.
this will set you up as an excuse for the rest of the year. It's like, well, I donated money to the Prevent Cancer Foundation, so yeah, I can kick this frog. I don't
have to do anything else for the rest of the year.
Don't kick frogs, by the way. They're great. Frogs are awesome.
Anything else?
No, that's it. Oh, besides watching Godzilla vs. Megalon, I highly recommend that movie. Right. It was awesome.
Okay. Jeff, anything you want to go over?
Yeah, I can't really remember anything I watched, so since I mentioned Black Mirror, I don't think I said when I did watch it. I finally finished season 5. Wasn't as good. I had a feeling because no one really talked about it, so that's kind of a shame. But Anthony Mackie is in one episode. Topher Grace is in another episode, and Miley Cyrus is in another episode. So, that was that. Yeah, God, I want to say there was something I watched, but I can't remember. The only other news I have to report is, so back in 1999, there was a movie called The Phantom Menace coming out. And I rushed to the stores to buy as much action figures and stuff as I can to make millions of dollars.
Jar Jar is going to be the shit.
Yeah, and I stored these things for 20 years, and I sold my entire collection for $120 this weekend. So,
whew.
Yay.
There you go. I paid more for them, probably $5 a piece back then, $8 a piece, and I know I sold more than 10 of them, so. Yeah. But whatever, they've been taking up space.
What was, like, the crown jewel of your Phantom Menace collection, Joe?
There wasn't any. I mean, I don't know. I was looking at him. I was like, cool, I got all the pod racers. I don't even know their names.
I am a pod racer.
Hey, Sebulba, there's Mars Guo. He's the best. Ben Quadraneros.
I should have done the Yarg!
Yeah, that's Mars Guo. Oh,
okay. I had little Annie as a pod racer. I had Darth Maul. I had Charge. I went that opening night at Toys R Us when those things came out. I got swept up in the fever and I bought them all. And then,
where a kid can be a kid.
Yeah. And then those ones that Alex and you guys made videos with, those are all gone too. So all missed over
stuff. Those are just movie memorabilia from a better movie that we made in high school.
Next, I got to sell some of my baseball cards anyway. Those things have been just collecting dust since I was even younger, so.
What's the guy with the sideburns that Milhouse wanted? Do you have that guy?
Don Mattingly?
No, like you, Mistrinsky, with Carly the big sideburns? Strimsky? Yeah, Carly with the sideburns.
Strimsky. Yeah, I don't have any old, those cards that old. I started around 1986, 87, 88, in that era.
What about that one guy that has the F word on his Bill baseball Ripken. Bat?
Yeah. I have the regular. I do not have the fuck face.
Oh. Sorry. Come on, man.
I tried.
Jeff, what was the name of the... Oh, God. He was the utility guy with the Angels for a few years.
That narrows it down.
Yeah, I know.
Tim Salmon.
Like, what era? Like,
I don't even sorry. So, like... like
Tony Danza.
In the aughts.
So, not Tony Danza?
I'm just trying to think of this guy's name because I was going to say something like, do you have that guy's rookie card?
God, the odds. Sean played, Figgins.
Wasn't Figgins.
Candy Maldonado.
It was definitely a white guy. It wasn't Sean Figgins.
Gary DeSarcina.
It was not DeSar.
Oh. Mike Piazza.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sorry. Oh, well, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. And then it'll be funny. but until then.
Joe DiMaggio.
Anything else, Jeff, other than selling off your childhood for profit?
No, I still have my He-Man, but I got to get rid of those soon, too.
Do you, though?
Yeah.
Just taking up space, man. I value space more than anything this time in my life.
Yeah. I feel you on that one.
Yeah.
That's every time Laura and I talk about something, I'm like, nope, it's going to take up space. Like getting a nice big like fake tree and not have to buy a new one every year. I'm like, I'd rather spend the money and not take up space for the rest of the 10 months.
Nope, not me.
I hate
to. You want to get another puppy? No, it's going to take up space.
Seriously.
That's a legitimate gripe right there.
Yeah. Yep, so that's all I got. All
right, I think we're good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
Jobo arigato. Gozaimashu.
Shake.
Sake.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.